and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru Vene Israel Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Baritolam Vishamru Vene Israel Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Baritolam B'nei, B'nei Israel, B'nei Israel, Oti le'olam, B'shamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasot Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Ki sheshe yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasot et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasot et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Facebook in the Knesset watching as Prime Minister Netanyahu walked by. If I were him, I would have said, "Hey, Bibi!" But he didn't say anything. So he didn't get his hand shaken. Sometimes you got to speak up. Amen. It's your only chance, you know. What's next? It's time to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, for new mercies today on this Shabbat, Lord, for your grace. Forgive us our sins. Well, let's all just say,
Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth,
as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us. From evil. For thine is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory. Forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Lord, we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray to open the eyes of each Jewish soul, and that they would see their Messiah, and that peace would come one heart at a time, Lord, to the people of Israel, Kol Yisrael, to Kol Yerushalayim, all Israel, all Jerusalem, and all Israel. Lord, we pray from the top down, Lord, from the street sweeper at the top to the lowly prime minister, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for the generals and the privates and the all the different soldiers and all the people and the housewives and the sick people in the hospitals and the doctors and the people working in restaurants. We pray for their salvation, Lord, for the immigrants in Israel, the French and the former Soviet Union people. We pray, Lord, for the Ethiopian Jews that live there and the people coming from all over the world for their salvation, Lord, that you open their eyes. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray when the rockets come in, they would land in the desert. We pray, Lord, that they would blow up on the launch pad. We pray, Lord, that they would land in the ocean or the sea. We pray, Lord, that they would blow up in the fields. We pray, Lord, that that those who try to harm Israel, that their guns wouldn't go off, that their knives would drop on the ground. We pray that if they try to run people over, their cars would stall. And we pray, Lord, that their judgment would come back sevenfold upon them as they try to destroy and hurt and kill your chosen people. We pray for the Messianic Jewish community in America. We pray, Lord, for the rabbis today. I pray for our leadership, that you would bring the spirit of Eliakim in a greater measure into our leadership, our executive leadership, and our movement. Bring the spirit of Eliakim of Isaiah 22:22 and Isaiah 22, and bring the spirit, remove the spirit of Shebna, those who are self-seeking, those who are self-looking to build power and kingdoms for themselves. Bring in the spirit of Eliakim into our executive leadership, Lord, and bring vision and bring unity and bring change. Bring war, make our movement what it's intended to be. Bring it into its fullness, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the Messianic rabbis who are just working hard every week, dealing with crises, dealing with not only their own families, but dealing with broken families, broken people, needy people, feeding people, bringing the word, preaching the word, building superintendents, and all these things that they have, all the many hats that a rabbi has to wear, going to funerals, going to the hospital, Lord, visiting the sick, praying with those who are sick, Lord, praying with people and just many people in general, Lord, and having to keep their lives together and make their lives an example to other people as well. Help these rabbis, Lord, meet their needs and bless them. Lord, save our Jewish friends, Lord. I pray for my mother today, Lord. She's been very sick this week. I just pray for Harriet, that you strengthen her, Lord, that you raise her platelet count above 50,000. I pray, Lord, that you would just help my mother emotionally, physically strengthen her, emotionally strengthen her. Help her to see as she is seen. Help her to know as she is known, Lord. Help her to see the Messiah and help her to see the truth. Speak the truth to my mother, Lord. Help her to receive the truth, Lord, and not, you know, want to just cringe at it, Lord, when she hears the truth. Help her to receive the truth and help all the Jewish people, Lord. I see so many people passing from the greatest generation, Lord, and they've been going just like by the dozens, week after week. It's amazing. And just pray for their families, all these friends and loved ones. Our friend Fred Middleton, Lord, we lift up Fred, who lost his father, who fought in World War II, Lord. And we just pray for Fred Middleton and Martha and their family, and Mike and Lisa. And we just we pray for them, for comfort and strength, Lord, and all the families that have lost loved ones recently, Lord. Seems like it's just, I can't keep up with it all. But you know each one. In Yeshua's name, bless this service now. Pour out your glory and your spirit upon us. Amen.
Servant of the Lord.
Now the Lord says, He reformed Israel in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and gather Israel to Himself. For He's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been His strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel He has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that He may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel. Asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, b'shinata ham levanecha, b'dibarta baham, b'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvlechtecha v'derech,
uveshachbecha uvekumecha uchacharam liot al yadecha vahayula totafot beinei necha uchatavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen.
Select 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask Ron, would you like to carry the Torah today? All right. And how about William, would you like to come carry the Torah today too? Are you up to it? Oh yeah. And praise, doing wonders, O Lord. And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai ve'ein kamasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimsheltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam ba'ed, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord gives strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Rabbi, even so Harun by Emer Moshe. Adonai, Kurna, Adonai, Bifutsu Oivecha, Vianusum Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion, Tetze Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim Baruch shenatan Torah Torah Baruch shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael v'idushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel.
Amen. Yes, he did. And Romans 3:2 says, What value is there in being Jewish? Much in every way, for God entrusted the Jewish people with the oracles of God. The oracles, the words of the Lord, the prophecies, the words, and the teachings of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, take that to the bank. And deposit it. Or cash it, whatever you want to do. All right. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruch et Adonai Hamvora
Baruch Adonai Hamrochilam Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Rochilam Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim Ve'natan Lanu Et Torato Baruch Adonai Noten HaTorah
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. This thing unfolded here. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Genesis chapter 44. Verse 18 through 47:27. And the half Torah is Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 15. And today's Torah portion is called Vayigash, and it means, and he approached. It's talking about Judah is the person that is approaching in this particular parasha. I think today you could describe this parasha in two words. One would be recognition, and the other one would be reconciliation. Because we see, if you read it this morning, and I hope you had a chance to read it this week, you see Judah, just give you, go a little back a little bit, Ben, we've been involved with Hanukkah the last week or so. You know, they had, there was a famine and they had went down to Egypt. And of course, Joseph had gone years before and established himself as Pharaoh's right-hand person. He was a viceroy. He led, and there was a famine, but there was plenty in the land of Egypt. So they went down to purchase food and take it back to Cana. And so while they were there, they brought Benjamin down there. And if you read and know the story, they hid a goblet or a vessel out of Joseph's home in the bags of grain. And he was taken, and so they're back down there. Judah is approaching Joseph and asking for him to release Benjamin, because that is the youngest of the 12 sons that Jacob and his wives bore. And it says he approached him, and he didn't really back down. He sort of approached him, and he put himself in front of Benjamin and pledged to Joseph that he would give himself for his brother, and Joseph could make Judah a slave if he wished, but release his brother from captivity. Joseph was very moved by Judah's loyalty to Benjamin, because after all, Joseph and Benjamin were sons of Rachel. So they were very close, even though he had not been with his brother. I think when this portion was done, Joseph had been in Egypt somewhere around 20-some years. So he had been gone for quite a while. And Benjamin, who was very small, had grown up to some extent. But he does something. He embraces his brothers. And you have to see that scene, because here is a guy that tells himself, he says, "I am Joseph, your brother." And he didn't look like a Hebrew. He looked like an Egyptian. And if you've seen some of the shows, movies, that's probably how Joseph looked. He had probably on a lot of gold jewelry and various things. And he looked, and I think back then the guys wore some type of makeup, or at least that's how Hollywood portrayed him. I don't know how true that is. I guess maybe the hieroglyphics revealed that to him some way. But they didn't really know who he was. And it's interesting, he had to show them who he was. And if you know anything about Judaism, Joseph had gone through the Brit Milah, the eighth-day circumcision, so they knew who he was. They recognized Joseph, even though he did not look Jewish to them at all. And see, the brothers, they were overcome with shame and remorse. But you know, Joseph asked them, he says, "Is my father Jacob still living?" And of course he was. And Joseph tells them not to fear, because God is the one that sent him to Egypt. He's telling them that God put him in the bondage, in the exile in Egypt, to save them from the famine. He is a shadow of Yeshua, because he was put there in Egypt to save the Jewish nation, what will become the Jewish nation. The brothers, they do return, and if you read it, you'll know that Jacob and the remaining household all came to Egypt. But what was interesting to me, I could not find where Joseph ever tried to go back home to Cana and see his family, even though he was a man of power and of enormous wealth, because the Egyptians were, in that particular era, were very wealthy and very philosophical and socialites and all this. They were very wealthy, and they were the protocol of that era in history, because they had a lot of knowledge and technology and things like that. They were very advanced civilization, if you studied them, just aside from the scriptures. But I think a lot of that came because the Jewish nation was there in the land of Egypt. I think that propelled them even greater ahead as far as their ability to get things done. So Jacob brings the remaining part of the family to Egypt, and there they are. But as he travels, God speaks to Jacob, and he gives him a divine promise. He says, "Fear not to go down to Egypt, for there I will make thee into a great nation." Again, that's part of the promise of the promised land. He says, "I will go with you down to Egypt, and there I will also surely bring you back up again to the land of Israel." He promises that. And they stay quite a long time. You know, Pharaoh gives the Israelites an area called Goshen, where they sell it. It's a very fertile, a very beautiful area. And so Israel begins to prosper greatly while they're in the land of Egypt. Of course, remember, they're in exile. And so exile, you know, God was going to bring them out. But right now they're in exile. But you know, when God, you know, when we were sinners, we are also put in exile, just like the Egyptian put the Israelites in. But God has given us the strength to overcome the challenge of being in exile. And that's through the blood of Yeshua, when that brings you out of the exile into the light of his world, into the light of Yeshua. So Israel did become very placent while they were in Israel. As time proceeds on, they become more complacent, because after all, the world was starving to death. And they were living in a very fertile land that had plenty of food, plenty of things to eat, and plenty of water and things like that. But the day would come, and would come later on, that Israel would also remember exactly who they were, that they were not Egyptians, that they were God's chosen people, and that God would one day bring them out of the exile in Egypt. You know, how did Joseph, you know, Joseph maintained his holiness while he was in exile in Egypt all those years. And I feel that he also, as being faithful to God, he also was an influence on the Egyptians about their God, as years later they see the God of Israel move. But I think the real lesson this morning for me especially, is the brothers didn't recognize Joseph. Like, that was the key point, because he didn't look again like he was a Hebrew man anymore. He had changed. He was different. He was still the same person inside, but on the outside he was different. And I think that we as believers must also recognize that there are differences within the body of Yeshua. We are all diverse, and we all have our own individuality. We're all different. We look different. Some of us act different, talk different. I think the secret of the brothers is also a secret for us, and that is to appreciate and accept everyone's individuality and love them just as they are. That's exactly how you come to Yeshua, just as you are. You don't have to go dress up, take a bath, get your hair cut, anything like that, or put on a new dress. You can come. You come just as you are, just like the song, just as you are. And I think the half Torah this morning, just to close with it, just a word from it, talks about the two sticks. And I think that's representing the messianic reign of Yeshua, that the two sticks, if you read that, tells you that they come together and make one. And that's what we will be when we're all reunited with Yeshua. We all have different walks of life, looks and attitudes and everything. We'll all become one in Yeshua on that day. Shabbat Shalom. Zod HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al Pi Adonai Biya Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
It's high.
To those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Just bringing some announcements before we continue with our worship this morning. And I want to welcome everyone on line who's joining us today. And thank you for tuning in to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. We're right across the line from Tennessee, right here in Bristol. So we just want to thank you for coming.
Hallelujah. Yes, we are the only authentic Messianic Jewish worship center in over 100 miles. If you want to find out, if you want to be part of the Messianic Jewish community, if you want to connect with the Jewish people who believe in Yeshua and Jesus the Messiah, this is the only authentic Messianic Jewish synagogue in over 100 miles, between here and Asheville, between here and Charlotte, between here and Knoxville. We've been here for 20 years. Come and join us. Come worship with us.
Amen. Hallelujah. And we broadcast the message normally on Facebook. So if you want to go there and make some comments, you can also send us an email off the website there where it says contact us. And if you'd like to sign up for the newsletter, it's easy to do. Just click up for the newsletter. And send us a comment, send us an email, tell us how you're liking it. And like Rabbi said, come join us if you're close by, if you're within driving distance. We'd love to have you with us. And we'd love to help you to, you know, to fulfill your calling. If you're called to the Jewish people, if you are Jewish and you're a believer, or if you're Jewish and you want to know more about the Messiah, please come out, and we'd love to have you in our community. Praise the Lord. So just a couple of things, housekeeping items before we continue here. I think everybody is family amongst us today, right? I just want to thank everyone who showed up this week. I mean, we had quite a snowstorm starting last weekend, and we've shoveled out, and we've managed to get the newsletter out in the midst of this huge storm. Rabbi brought the got someone down here to plow the parking lot, and I don't know how many people showed up, but let's see, Aja, you were there. Who else came for the newsletter? Raise your hand if you were involved. So yes, quite a few people. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yes.
And I just want to, amen. You give it up for me. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you to the folks who are here, and thank you to Donna Webb and Carolyn Kitching and who else was there? That was Sharon Phillippe was there, I know, and just all the people that helped. Vicki Peters did a great job putting it together, and I hope if you didn't get a color copy, we have color copies of it. If you like one, anybody like one, just yes, somebody wants to pass them out.
I think they're out in the lobby there, but if you want, if anybody wants one.
This was a revelation, this newsletter, about the bride and the altar. You know, for me, God reveals new things to me about his feasts and about his word, his holidays, and even, you know, even the story of Joseph today, as I'm going to talk about it. He reveals new aspects of it to me every time. It's always fresh. It's always new. And this Hanukkah message, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter and you're watching online, you can sign up right online for our newsletter. Talk about Yeshua and the coming of the bride and his preparation for the bride and how Hanukkah connects to the altar and getting ready to come to the altar with his bride. And it's prophetic. It's very prophetic newsletter, and I gotta say, I watched how God worked this week. You know, we had the snowstorm at the beginning of the week, big snowstorm, and we had planned to get the newsletter going out by Wednesday, and there's 10, 12 inches of snow on the ground Monday, and I didn't have anyone to plow we had work to do. You know, I could have left. I suppose if I'd not plowed, it would have melted by today, right? But we had to get the newsletter out. And if I didn't plow it, there would have been snow and ice yesterday, and people wouldn't have been able to get in the driveway. Or Thursday, there would have been snow and ice. People wouldn't have been able to get in. And so I prayed. I just went to praying. I think it was Sunday or Monday. It was Monday, maybe. I just went to praying. I just sat in my armchair, and I just lifted my hands to the Lord, and I prayed for about 45 minutes. And God had me to call just I looked up, you know, Googled every snowplow removal place near Bristol, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee. And I called them, and the Lord basically told me, said, take the one that calls you back and who can come, let him come and do it. And so one guy called me back within an hour. I mean, they were out plowing heavy. I mean, these guys, the fact that I got a call back in an hour on Monday, think about this. All the parking lots, all the shopping centers, big churches, you name it, you know, and I got a call back in an hour, and they were here in 2 hours, and who was with me that day? Somebody was with me Isaac came with me. Yeah, thank you, Isaac. And Isaac came with me, and we let them in, and these men plowed and salted, and Vicki was able to get in and get the newsletter printed, and then, you know, later on Wednesday night we had prayer, and it was still pretty messy out there, but we had it cleaned off, and the gals were able to do some stuffing of envelopes, and Donna and Deborah and Diane, the three D's, Debbie Donna and Diane. And anyway, we got it done. It amazes me how this newsletter, how God works, you know, when He's in something. And anyway, so praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I just pray for the fruitfulness of God's word as it goes forth to the ends of the world here. Mostly in the United States, we have over 2,000 people on our list. And just pray that people on our list become involved in some way, that they are pricked in their heart to move to do something for Israel. And we encourage all of you who are watching not just to receive, but to give back to Israel. God may be asking you to do something to act on your feelings of love for the Jewish people and for what God's doing in the end times. So praise the Lord. And along those lines, just coming up, the only thing that I want to announce as far as an event is that and we haven't really talked about this a lot, but the Southeast Conference is coming up December 21st to the 23rd. Next weekend, not this. Yeah, it's next weekend. And you can still sign up and go. It's a great weekend experience down at the Rosen Plaza in Orlando. And I'm sure there's plenty of space still. They have a great deal on the hotel there. It's like between $80.
It's $80
a night.
It's $80 a night.
And
it's
a
four-star hotel.
It's a beautiful hotel.
If you've never stayed in a four-star hotel and you have $80, now I'm going to tell you something. You know, to some people, $80 is a lot of money. I get that. I totally do. But if you stay in motels and you travel and you go to a Hampton Inn or a Holiday Inn Express off the highway, you're going to pay $120, $130, $140 bucks a night. You'll pay $140 bucks
just for a basic hotel.
Just for a basic Hampton Inn. They'll hit you for $130 bucks with your AAA discount. And then when the taxes come, it's $149 bucks. Okay? This hotel is charging $80 for luxury rooms with a pool. And you can drive down there. I wasn't going to go. I had decided. Joel Chernoff asked me to go to the rabbis' conference, which is 2 weeks later, and I can't afford to go to every conference. I have to. But I got a call from Joel's sister Hope, and she said, "Would you teach at this conference? Would you come? Would you teach?" And I said, "You're going to have to sweeten the deal for me. You're going to have to. I can't go to both conferences." And she did. She sweetened the deal. She took care of. I can't want to say what she took care of, but she took care of something for me and the boys. And I think it's important for our kids to go to these conferences. Honestly, it's nice if you register for the day classes. But the most important thing I think for these conferences. It's for our kids to be around other Messianic children. It's so critical for our children to be around other Messianic kids, to experience, to fellowship with other Messianic kids besides the ones that are here in the congregation. It's critical. They won't get they need to be around other Jewish kids and be around teenagers and older kids who will mentor them, and it's very important. And I'm gonna be honest with you, nobody goes. I promote conferences, and I haven't even promote this one because I've just kind of given up and thrown up my hands. I've mentioned these conferences for years, and virtually nobody goes to the conferences. And I say, hey, listen, you may not be able to spend $4,000 to go to Israel, but can you spend $800 to go to a conference in Florida for a couple days, you know, instead of going to Israel? I mean, you know, if God leads you and you have kids or something, some reason to go, you know, or just to fellowship with other Messianic Jews, and you're looking for a Florida vacation, you're not going to get. I'm going to tell you, Orlando is almost 80 degrees right now. It's almost 80 degrees. You get an $80 hotel room in a 4-star hotel 20 minutes from Disney World. You're never going to get a cheaper trip to Florida. You will not get a cheaper stay in a nicer hotel anywhere. I'm just telling you.
Terry and Anna.
Terry went last year. Terry and Anna. You tell him, Terry.
There. No, I'll say it again. But if I recommend you go, because like I said, I grew by leaps and bounds when my wife and I went there, and God totally turned me around in some areas. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is moving, and this is just one venue that he's using, because these are the end days. You've heard Paul Wilbur sing, and you've heard our songs. We're in the last generation. We've got to get ready. We've got to get ourselves ready. And it starts here, and it starts by being part of the synagogue and being supporting a rabbi and going to the conferences if we can go. And if we can't, ask for help. Don't be shameful. Don't be ashamed, because that's the enemy coming at you saying, ah, look at you, you're begging. No, don't do that, because I'm sure there's people that will help.
Amen. That's true. Amen. Thank you, Terry. Awesome. And praise the Lord. So that's next weekend. And like I said, you can go online and register these cards here. And if you don't have a card, just go to www.mja.org. So,
and you know, the neat thing, too, and I just want to say one last thing. If you can't afford registration, don't register. Just go to the night. Just go down, get yourself a hotel room, go to the night meetings where there's great. They have the top, you know, preachers at night, the night sessions, worship every night, spend the day at the pool, relax for a few days. And, it's nice to register if you can, but some people can't afford it. So don't register. Just go down there and get the hotel room, and you can go to the night sessions. I think they're $15. And you'll see people like, you know, Marty Goetz or I'm not sure if Paul Wilbur's going to be there, but...
Ted Paris is usually there, and Corey Bell was there last year, and a lot of great things. So I mean, it's just packed with music, with worship, and great teaching.
Don Bell was there last year.
Don Bell was on the clarinet. I'm not going to make it this year to do that. But that was okay. My last thing for announcements before we continue, and we'll try to keep it sweet. We want to. Lift up prayers for Fred Middleton and his family, and I'm going to send this around. His dad passed away. I think most of you know about it who've been on the prayer chain. And so we just want to keep Fred and his family lifted up as they go through this time of grieving for his father. And we also have Bill Bledsoe's
mother died.
Right.
We just found out that yesterday. We found out that his mother died, and so we don't have a card ready for her, for the Bledsoe family, but we want to keep them in prayer. And so please sign Fred Middleton's card and then pass it, bring it back up here, and I'll say a prayer for the Bledsoes.
And that's all? So I'm going to turn it back over to her.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, I'm debating whether to preach about Joseph. Do you have a pen there for that card? You got a pen? Okay. If anybody's interested, and by the way, next week. So I wasn't planning to go to this conference, but God dragged me because if I don't go, do you know there isn't a single rabbi preaching Aliyah in Florida? And I'm going to talk about Aliyah today. For those of you who don't really know what Aliyah is. There isn't a single rabbi that I know of preaching Aliyah in Florida. And I asked a gal who's she's a a longtime Florida resident and a friend of mine. I asked her on Facebook yesterday. She said, I said, I wasn't going to go. But last year I preached the last president of the United States, and I focused on Aliyah and on getting out of Florida. You know, I preached on getting out with these hurricanes. It's not going to get better. Just like the fires in California are not going to get better. Nobody's preaching it. You know, one guy recently said to somebody when they were asked about it, you know, why would I give up a good gig like this to go to Israel? He's got a big congregation somewhere, you know, one of these big states like Florida or California. He says, why would I give up a good gig like this to go to Israel? Well, when God blows the roof off your synagogue, you might change your mind, right? Right, Wendell? What's that? Why wouldn't you want to go? Amen. That's exactly the way. So, you know, God is sending me. I know exactly why he's sending me. Well, I think I do. I won't put him in a box. But I know he's sending me to deliver a message to the people of Florida. To get out of that state, go home to Israel. Get ready. God's about to do a... You're about to see an exodus. And we're going to talk about it today. All right, so here's brochures if you're interested in the conference. They're right here. You can just pick one up. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to give back to you what's already yours. Lord, your word says in Malachi 3:8, it says, test me in this, and you taught me this, Lord. Because I used to give my tithe all over the place. I used to send my tithe here and there. And one time, some of you have heard this story, but I had a big tithe one time. I sold a house, and I had a $9,000 tithe. And I was going to a small church up in Abingdon, and I thought to myself, $9,000 is too much to bring to this little church. Just too much, too big a tithe. So I'll give them $7,500, and I'll send $2,500 to a mission in California, okay, to a ministry. I'll send $2,500, okay? So I put my check for $7,500 in the plate, and guess what? The pastor calls me up and says, he says, Brother Joe Bell, would you come? By the way, the same pastor's coming to preach here. He's my pastor, Ed Bowers. He's coming to preach next week. He's one of my strongest mentors and my pastor. He's coming to preach next week, I believe. And he's coming here. Don will be here too next week. So please.
No, I.
You won't be here. Don Don won't be here.
Right. I'm pretty sure I won't.
We'll just take a picture of her and we'll put it up there.
A paper thing.
So, yeah. But please come out and support Pastor Ed and but anyway, so here's the deal. So he calls me up. He says. He says, Brother Joe, would you pray for the offering? So I lifted up the plate and I said, and I put, remember, I put $7,500 in, but the tithe I had was $9,000. I sent $2,500 to a ministry in California. And I put $7,500 in the plate. And I said, God, bless this. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Bless this offering 100-fold, Lord, because I knew what was in that plate. He didn't. I knew exactly what I put in that plate. I said, Lord, bless this offering 100-fold. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, Joe, I'm going to give you 100-fold. Now, don't you wish you put the 9,000 in the plate? He says, Malachi 3:8, read it. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Bring it into my house. He doesn't say send it to the mission field. He doesn't say, he says, bring it to your home, to your congregation, so that there may be food in my house to feed the people. And test me in this, says the Lord, that see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the devourer for you. And I've seen so many people complain to me, Rabbi, I got a tax refund and then my washing machine broke. I got my aunt sent me a check and then all of a sudden my car broke down. And it's like the money goes right, there's a hole in my pocket. You know, people don't tithe. They don't tithe. So anyway, that's my little story on tithing. Okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts today. Bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, bless those online who are giving, Lord. They can give securely online. And we thank you for your gifts and your tithes. For those who are watching, and if this is your spiritual home, we God bless you. And if you'd like to support us, we bless you as well. And in Yeshua's mighty name, amen.
adore you. We thank you for all you've given to us, and we look up to you for strength and for provision. And nothing is too difficult for him, right?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand up and say, nothing is too difficult for you, Lord.
Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord.
All right, so let's lift up whatever it is that we're thinking is too difficult in our lives. All right, let's just hold it in your hand right now. Hold it in your hand. All right, what it is, okay? What is it that the devil tells you it's too difficult? Just lift it up to him. Lord, nothing is too difficult for you. Hallelujah. All right, let's put our hands together. Let's declare the victory of the Lord over our situation. Rabbi. It's at the end of your folder. Right there. Turn the page. Next song. Did you find it?
Save and victory free.
Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Say, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Nothing is too difficult for thee, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should we be afraid? Because he's going out to war before us. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. In a dry and weary land, my soul thirsts for you. In the shadow of your wings, I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stick close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Lord, my soul, it is satisfied as with the richest of foods. Because your love, it is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Come on, everybody, sing.
I will sing you in the sanctuary.
Water running through our soul. We love you. We want to drink of you. Satisfy us with your love. Satisfy us with your delicacies, your wonders, the things that you have for us, Lord. Fill us with things that only you can fill us with. Satisfy us, Lord. Lord, we've been reaching for all kinds of things. But all we need is you.
Amen. Praise your name.
Praise your name.
Thank you. Bless you. This is a special time. No distractions, nothing going on. All we have is you right now. Let's put aside our childish ways and our childish things. Let's seek you. Let's look into your heavenlies. Look into your realm.
Three, four. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Anna and Maria, would you like to serve today? What's the matter? You still? Wow. No kisses. No kisses. Okay. Hallelujah. Diane, would you like to come and serve? All right. Come on. Come on down. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And hallelujah. You know, a lot of folks have been sick and lately, and my son, he got sick last weekend. I'm a little boomy. But my little boy, Josh, got sick last weekend. Now I'm disappeared. Anyway, Josh, how are you feeling? Still stuffy and coughing. So, you know, it's been going on almost a week now, and he hasn't improved. And I sometimes these sicknesses, I see people with going on 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and sometimes, you know, it's just a cold, a virus, but sometimes it's a bacterial infection. And sometimes if it's a bacterial infection, the only thing that's going to get rid of it is an antibiotic. Sometimes you need an antibiotic. And so, you know, if Josh, it's almost a week now, so we'll probably take him, you know, to if the Lord doesn't just heal him, we'll probably take him and get him, you know, looked at. But I'm going to tell you folks, and things this. We're living in strange times, okay? We're living in the end times. And we're seeing diseases, and we're seeing sicknesses and things that we haven't seen in the past. We're seeing virulent infections, virulent strains of flu. You know, I think over 80,000 Americans died last year from the flu. 80,000 people died. You didn't hardly hear about it in the news. 80,000. I mean, that's like, I don't know if that's Kingsport, you know, the whole city of Kingsport. It's probably, or maybe, you know, more than the city of Kingsport. You know, that's a lot of people from the flu. You know, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm gonna tell you something. There's some few simple things you can do when you get congestion and you get these, and it doesn't go away. Get your chest X-rayed. Just get a chest X-ray. You know, it can be pneumonia. You can be walking around for weeks with walking pneumonia. And just a simple antibiotic, penicillin, $6, $5 antibiotic, can, they're hard on you, but they can take away, the kill. If it's walking pneumonia, it can save your life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying what people have or don't have. I'm just saying, you know, it's worth getting the chest X-ray if it's in your chest. And if it's lasting, it's not going away, you know, and yes, antibiotics can be hard on you, but better be safe than sorry, you know. I'm hearing stories, I'm seeing people dying on Facebook and stuff. You know, Brother Ed got the flu or whatever, and he was gone 5 days later, you know. You know, see a doctor. Go to an urgent care clinic. It may cost you $100, whatever. Is your life worth $100?
Money.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Wendell. All right, we're going to go to the Lord's table now. So if you're watching and you have clean hands, you get some juice, fruit of the vine of your choice, and some crackers or matzah, and join us if you'd like to join us. And I'm going to bless the juice. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, vorei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover, it was Passover. If you read Luke 22, it was the biblical feast of Passover. Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He also took the bread, we call the afikomen. It's the bread taken after the meal, the matzah, and he broke it into small pieces and gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. And so by Jewish people take this cup after the meal. They take this bread, the matzah, and they break it in pieces and share it after the meal. And it's, you know, they call it dessert. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it represents. But Yeshua changed the whole meaning of Passover. He said, this represents my blood shed for you. This represents my body given for you. Hallelujah. What a radical. My first Passover in the Lord was amazing. You know, because until that point, I had just looked back to Moses, you know, and now all of a sudden Passover was personal. It was about me coming out of the Egypt of sin. Amen. God delivered me from the Egypt of sin and the Egypt of death and saved me. Now I'll not die. I will go, when I leave this tent, when I leave this shell, I'll go right into the arms of the Lord. It says the Lord says he comes for us. He's going to take me to himself. Amen? and the angels with him, you know. And we'll all just pass from this place on to glory. Amen. You're gonna leave your turtle shell. Hallelujah. But you know, so, and he forgives our sins and just does wonderful things in our lives, and he heals us, and he heals our diseases. He healeth all our diseases. So I pray for the sick today, that Lord, everybody here who's still sick, been going on for weeks with some people, I pray that you touch them, Lord, that you heal them as they come and take this, come to the table of grace, and they take the elements, that you heal them, Lord, of sickness. Each one, Lord, touch them. By your stripes, by the blood, they're healed. They were healed. Thank you, Lord, that we're healed by your blood. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name. Yeshua's name. If there's anybody watching today that doesn't know the Messiah, if you would like to meet the Messiah, and you're watching, is anybody here today? Just close your eyes and let's bow our heads. If there's anybody that doesn't know the Messiah, just raise your hand, and I'll pray with you to meet the Messiah. That's the best meeting you'll ever have. That's the best blind date you'll ever have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, if you're watching today, just pray with me. If you'd like to meet the Messiah, just say, Dear God, I want to meet the Messiah. I want the Messiah, Yeshua, to come into my heart. I want the Messiah to wash me of my uncleanness. He's a good power washer. And I'll tell you, Lord, I just pray, I've messed up in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I pray that he would just fix my mess. That you would fix my mess, Lord. There's things in my life, Lord, that are so messed up that I couldn't fix them if I tried. Broken relationships, broken friendships, things that I can't handle, relationships, family, things I can't possibly fix, but you can, Lord. And we ask in Yeshua's name that you would do that, and put my name in your book of life, Lord. Save me. Take me out of Egypt. In Yeshua's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you believe you met the Messiah, Bible says he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. If you believe that and you met him today, let us know. I have a special gift for you. And contact us. God bless you. And God bless everybody as you come. Amen.
Thank you. We have many menorahs. Many lions and many menorahs. Okay. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Child near you. Look for a child near you and just put your hands on them. Lay hands. Gather around them. We'll do it a little differently today.
May you be like Ruth and like David.
Don't be shy.
May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us in Messiah's ways. May God bless you and grant you long.
May you see the light every time in victory.
May God make you good husbands and
pray for these young ones. Lord, we just pray that you give them the strength, the power first of all, I pray that they would each develop a personal relationship with you on their own, not because their parents have one, not because their rabbi has one, but because they like Samuel, they develop a personal relationship with you individually by them on their own terms, Lord, that they come to know you. I pray, Lord, that they discover that you are the ultimate superstar. You are the ultimate athlete. You are the ultimate superhero. You are the ultimate James Bond figure. You are the ultimate law enforcement person. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're the ultimate military figure, coming back on your white charger, with your sword in hand, Lord, and help the young ones to realize that you are the source of their future. You're the source of strength and blessing. You're the source of revelation and knowledge and understanding for their life. I pray, Lord, for their helpmates, that you prepare their helpmates even now, Lord, for the future, that you'd be preparing their helpmates and preparing them as well for their helpmates, Lord, and that you would would just make them ready for one another, Lord. And I pray that I have the privilege of joining them together one day, and some of these, and even baptizing some of these young people. In Yeshua's name, Lord, bless them and open their ears to hear, give them eyes to see, help them to walk in the way that your paths of righteousness, where you say, "This is the way, walk ye in it. Do not turn to the left or to the right." In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Okay. Now, I'm serious, though. If you've got one of these colds going on, you just take one of these shofars and stick your nose right in the hole here and sniff about 8 times. It'll cure what ails you. I'm telling you. Wendell, you look like you've lost weight. Yeah. Is Maria's not feeding you?
No, she's not feeding me nothing.
Nothing. She's overfeeding you. Maria, are you feeding him?
Yeah. Poor.
You poor baby. Where's that card for Fred? Are we on Facebook here? About to be? All right. Don, would you sign that for us? Shalom, everyone on Facebook. Welcome to For Zion's Sake, to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. I'm Rabbi Joe. You can come and join us. We welcome you to come. You don't have to be Jewish to come to the area's only authentic Messianic Jewish congregation for the last 20 years, within 100 miles or more. We invite you to come and join us. And today's message is the power of one Jew to save. The power of one Jew to save. It's also, I'm going to talk about Aliyah, so it's kind of a twofold message today. The power of a Jew to save. And today's Torah portion is, our friend Anthony was speaking earlier, is in Genesis chapter 44. So if you turn there, let's look in Genesis 44. We'll get ourselves ready. But, you know, God works, I have noticed, and the Bible says, when God built the tabernacle, when Moses built the tabernacle, it says that God gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle on the mountain. Moses was fasting for 40 days on the mountain. Amen? And God gave him the pattern. And when Moses built everything according to the pattern that God gave him on the mountain, and he built the tabernacle, then the glory fell and it filled the tabernacle. Amen? And then King David got instructions from God how to build the temple. And when he did, and he built the temple, he had Solomon built it. He provided everything Solomon would need. And in 2 Chronicles 5 through 7, it tells how Solomon built the temple exactly according to the pattern that his father was given by God. Amen? And what happened, if we read, you'll see the glory fell, and everybody, the priests hit the floor, and everybody hit their faces, and nobody could stand up. When sometimes when the glory falls, you can't stand. So if you go to a church that never hits the ground, you're probably not experiencing the glory of God. How many of you have ever experienced the glory of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody should experience it at least once in their life. It's an amazing thing, to experience the glory and power of God And I'm not saying that it was even what I've experienced is even as strong as what Moses experienced then, or I don't know. I've had some powerful encounters with God Almighty. But there's a pattern throughout Scripture of great Gentile pagan civilizations like Persia, Egypt, Babylon, Babylonia, Greece, Rome, that had fallen into desperate situations, such as Babylon in the time of Daniel, and the king would have dreams, and the king would call out, he'd have a strange dream, and he couldn't interpret it, and he'd call for his magicians and his conjurers and his sorcerers, and they'd come, and they didn't have a clue how to interpret the king's dream, so they'd make up stories, and the king knew they were lying. And he usually cut their heads off. But there was a guy, everybody say there was a guy. It was a Jewish guy named Daniel. And when they called Daniel, and all through the book of Daniel, and you read about the king's dreams and Daniel and visions in Daniel 2 and Daniel 5 and Daniel 7 and Daniel 9, all through the book of Daniel, Daniel 12, multiple times, where Daniel has dreams and visions, or the king has visions, and Daniel gets the interpretation. And this Jewish guy, who was in the realm of the greatest empire on earth at the time, Babylonia, was called to the king, brought before the king, and he interpreted the king's dreams. Amen? And he was promoted to be the prime minister, and several times he was given gifts and different. He reigned under several Babylonian emperors and even Persian emperors. He lived a long time, Daniel, and he interpreted dreams. He was given great authority in the kingdom, amen. And he was a Jewish guy. Another one that I think of is Esther, Queen Esther. And here was this little Jewish girl in Persia, realm of 127 provinces, the largest empire on earth in its day, perhaps the largest empire ever. 127 provinces, perhaps the largest empire the world has ever known, the Persian Empire, and at the time, the Medo-Persian Empire. And this little Jewish girl becomes queen, and she, God uses her to save her people. When the evil Mordecai rose up, evil Haman rose up. Mordecai was a good guy. Sorry about that. When the evil Haman rose up to destroy the Jewish people, I was just reading it in the book of Esther the other day, how Esther threw a banquet and she was trembling with fear in her banquet, and she had to do it a second time. She had to invite the king and Haman twice, because the first time she didn't have the courage to speak out and say, oh king, this guy is trying to kill my people. The second time she had the banquet, she said, there's a man in the realm who's trying to destroy my people and wants to kill me too. And the king, her husband, Ahasuerus, said, well, he was outraged, and she said, he said, who is it? And she said, it's this Haman right here. And the king was so outraged that he left the room, and Haman could see that the king intended to do him harm. The Bible says he could see on the king's face that the king intended to do him harm, and so he pleaded with Esther, and he threw himself on top of her. She was on a couch. He threw himself, maybe on her knees, and he touched her. He should have, bad move. King walked back in the room and said, would you even, not only would you do this stunt, the first stunt, but now you try to take advantage of my wife, on top of all the other stuff you're doing, and then they covered his head, and it was recommended by her eunuch. She had a personal eunuch attendant, and he recommended that Haman be hung on the very same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai the Jew, and Esther saved the Jewish people. Amen. And you know, the interesting thing about Esther in her situation, she didn't want to do it. She was a reluctant participant. She didn't want to be queen, but yet she didn't have a choice because the king needed a queen. His first queen, Vashti, was banished or had her head chopped off. We don't really know. Probably had her head chopped off because it says that he missed her. His anger subsided after she was gone. It said that he had thoughts, feelings for her, but apparently she was no longer kind of like an Anne Boleyn situation, you know. She probably wasn't around anymore. So he had to get a new queen. So they began a search, and they called all the virgins in the realm to come, and all the beautiful virgins from the whole 127 provinces were brought to Susa to be prepared for a night with the king, to be brought before the king. And they were prepared. And this is a great picture of the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage of Yeshua, of Jesus, because these women, and this is a good lesson too if you're single and you're looking for, if you're 50 years old, you're 45 years old, and you're single and you're kind of set in your ways, you've never been married. I've met a lot of people like this in my life who didn't get married in their 20s or 30s. They didn't find the right person, but they still desire to be married. And sometimes I'd say to people, I think of Esther, how Esther and all these women went through a year of beautification. They went through a year of purification. They went through a year of beauty treatments, all for one night with the king. Amen? They went through a year of beauty treatments and royalty treatments, how to talk to a king, how to please the king, how to behave around the king. They were bathed in oils and perfumes and baths and beauty treatments, and their hair was done and makeup and everything, you know, so that the king could pick a wife out of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of women. The king picked Esther. Now there's a message here on a more simple note for people who are looking to get married, who are, you know, you're in your 40s or 50s and you'd like to get married, you never found that right person. What are you doing to make yourself appealing to your future king? What are you doing? What kind of beauty treatments, what kind of preparation are you doing for your future bride, guys, with your pizza bellies and or other donut bellies or whatever it is? What are you doing to get ready? Are you walking around with an untucked flannel shirt, unshaven? If you're unshaven and you're married, you know, God bless you. Your wife probably doesn't care if you don't take a shower for 2 or 3 days, right? Right, Maria? Okay, one day. But, praise God. You know, it's one thing to walk around the house, you know, looking a little, you know, unkept when you're married after 20 years. But if you're trying to meet somebody, you want to look your best. Amen? Oh, good preaching, Rabbi. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I mean, it's not the outward appearance that matters, but it doesn't hurt. If you want to be noticed, if you're going to church, you're going to Messianic synagogue, and you want somebody to at least notice you. And this is the story of Joseph, too. Because Joseph, now I'm not talking about marriage here. Now I'm talking about being noticed. Joseph was in prison. And Joseph had a gift to interpret dreams. Amen? Joseph had a gift to interpret dreams, and he could interpret Pharaoh's dreams, but he had to be noticed. Everybody say noticed. He had to be noticed. And he was the only Jew in the kingdom in Egypt. Joseph was, as far as I know, he was the only Jew in Egypt. There may have been others, but he was the main guy. We say he was the main guy. Joseph was the only son of Jacob of the 12 tribes of Judah, the only Jew, the only Hebrew. We were a small people back then. There were only about 70 of us, you know, in the whole world at that time, the time of Jacob. And Jacob's family was a small family, relatively, you know, maybe 70 is a pretty good sized family today, you know, if you have 70 people in your family. But if you're considering the whole Jewish nation as 70, 75 people, there were 75 people that came to Egypt to be with Joseph, from his brothers' wives, his father, and all that, you know, and their children. There were, you know, 75 people, okay? That's not very much. So the marriage tip was just a tip. You know, to men, if you want to find a woman, you know, get a nice haircut. Go out and you know, take a shave. Put on the style, you know, put on the agony. We used to sing a song in camp, putting on the agony, putting on the style. That's what all the young folks are doing all the while. And as I look around me, I'm very apt to smile to see so many people putting on the style. But am I wrong, Carolyn? No. I'm telling you. You know, my wife looked at me when she, and I don't know. I think men, I don't know who's more spiritual when it comes to you. When I saw Dawn and I knew immediately she was the one for me. Didn't matter. Looks didn't matter. I just knew. I had four girls on my right, four girls on my left. I was 30 years old. I was in a Messianic synagogue. I was a hot, you know, I was a good catch. I had a job, I had a car, I had a house. I was 30 years old, you know. I was a provider, and I was a new believer, and there were all these single gals, and you know, I didn't ask him to stand next to me. There was four on this side and four on that side. I turned around, and my wife's behind me. My future wife is standing behind me. And I turned around and noticed her, and my whole world changed in that moment. That magic moment. Praise the Lord! Amen. Woo! Amen. Amen? And you want to be, you don't want to, you don't know the day you're going to meet your spouse. You don't know the day you're going to meet your wife or your husband. So, you know, clean up. Amen. Get ready. I'm serious. If you're looking, if it's your desire, hey, look, I've been married 22 years, man. If I want to walk around in sweatpants, let my beard grow, my wife, she doesn't care. She really doesn't care. I don't have to impress anybody. I have two kids, right? Handsome son here in the front row. As far as I know, I am. Yeah. I don't know. Come here. Come on up here. Let's see if people think you're my son. Let's see. Is there a resemblance? Okay. All right. That's enough proof for me. Look, if you're married, you don't have to impress anybody. But if you're looking, and I'm trying to be helpful here, you don't know where you're going to meet him. If it's going to be the grocery store, you don't know if it's going to be, you know, walking the dog. You don't know where you're going to meet your future spouse. So be ready in season and out of season. Amen. I'm trying to help you out. Carolyn, it's cracking you up, huh? All right, so there was a Jew in Persia named Esther. She saved her people. Not only did she save her people, she saved Persia from a form of Nazism. Haman would have taken over the kingdom and turned Persia into a horrible empire. You know, horrible. and he saved it by getting rid of him. Moses delivered, you know, in Egypt. He went to Pharaoh and he delivered his people by God's help. God gave him the power to say, to stand before Pharaoh and go and say, "Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go." And he kept saying it and saying it and going back. You know, he was not the most, you know, "Come on, let's put him up." You know, Moses was a little timid, you know, he didn't like doing it, but he did it. He went and he delivered his people. He obeyed God and he delivered his people. Praise God. All right. So God has a pattern here where, you know, there could be a Jew in this area that God has a big plan for, but the people have to notice. If the people of Egypt didn't notice Joe, amen, Joe was lying in prison. If they didn't notice Joseph lying in prison, if the king didn't become aware of his gifts and his ability to save not only Egypt and his own people, but the whole world of that day, what would have happened? Jews would have died. Egypt, most people would have died. You know, the whole the world, I mean, it would have been ugly, I'll tell you that. It wouldn't have been pretty. So God has a pattern of sending a Jew. And there was another Jew he sent, a guy named Yeshua. He sent him at the beginning of the about 2,000 years ago. He sent this guy named Yeshua. And just about 2,000 years ago, well, he was about 20 years old about this time, 2,000 years ago, almost 20, maybe 16 or 17, like Isaac. He was a young Jewish fellow. He was the Messiah, and he was the Savior of the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you know what? He came to Israel, but he also came to an Israel that was run by the Roman Empire. So he was actually born into the Roman Empire as a Jew, born a Jew under the control of the Roman Empire. He was the Savior of the world. Glad you're cracking up. No, I am. I like it when people... Laughter is good medicine. Fix yourself up. Do one of those Cindy Crawford beauty treatments. Men, go get yourself a pedicure. I went to a funeral. Fred Middleton's dad was 93 years old, and he was living with his other son, not Fred, but his other son and his son's wife, and she was a big executive with a beauty company, with a company that sold jewelry and bangles and beauty stuff to make young girls, you know, earrings, national chain. She was a big executive, for, you know, well-to-do people. And so they took Fred Sr., Fred's father, in the eulogy. They talked about how they took him for a pedicure. He said, "I want one of these every month." He's 92 years old. You know, I'd like one of these every month. He liked it. You know, so if you haven't had a pedicure, go out and get yourself one. Praise God. Wear clean underwear. All right. Let's go. So, there's another Jewish guy who saved his people. His name is Judah Maccabee. We just read about him in the Hanukkah story. And he saved the Jewish people from the Greeks. Amen? The Greeks went to a town. Everybody say they went to a town. And they met the wrong Jew. Or the right Jew. They went to the wrong Jewish town and met the right Jew. Amen? And that Jewish fellow, Judah Maccabee, he put together a militia and defeated the mighty Syrian or Greek army. It was based in Syria. But the empire went all the way to Persia and all the way down through Israel and all the way through Turkey, all the way just west of Turkey and to near Greece. And it was a huge empire. And a huge army. And this Jewish guy, Judah the Hammer. He must have been quite a guy, big strong guy, and he defeated. He put together a militia, and they defeated the Greeks. Okay, so Joseph is in Egypt, and let's read that. Let's read about that. How he comes out of prison. Now Joseph was a character who his brothers hated his guts. Now let me just say something to you here. Some of us have family situations, and some of this is a little bit personal too. We have family situations that are so broken, no human can fix them. We have family situations. We have relationships with siblings, with cousins, with aunts, with uncles, with parents and children, adult children, brothers and sisters that are so broken, especially as death comes near. When the death of a parent comes near, or you know, I've never seen, man, somebody died recently that I knew, and the whole family went and cleaned out the person's house before the body was even cold. And they didn't wait for the judge to do probate. They didn't wait for the will. It was again, they broke into the house. How do they know if there was a will or not, you know? And this poor girl that I know that told me the story, it was her family. And, you know, she got to the house a day later and they had ransacked it, you know, and all, I mean, just terrible things. I've seen this so much where I used to own apartments and a woman died in the apartments. Her kids came in like vultures and they started taking things and fighting over things. And it was so ugly. They were nice people and they became so ugly and, you know, so hateful. And, you know, Joseph's brothers hated him. And Joseph had this gift. You can go all the way back to Genesis 37, and you can see the hate that Joseph's brothers had for him. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. And these are the records of the generation of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. All right. So Joe was a tattletale. Everybody say Joe was a tattletale. All right. So he was 17. He was kind of a bratty kid. He was spoiled. He was his father's favorite kid. And he had some issues. Joe had some issues. Now it says in verse 3, now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. Thank you, sir. He made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw and that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. They were jealous of Joe. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, partly because he was obnoxious. He was a tattletale, right? He ratted out his brothers. But partly because they knew, and I'll tell you, I'm going through this with my pets. We have a cat and a dog. The dog hates the cat. The dog hates the cat. And the dog, if the cat tries to get anywhere near, I got some sardines out that had been sitting around for a while. I thought, I'll give the cat some sardines. So I pulled some sardines out, put them on a little plate, and the cat didn't really like the sardines. The dog went, bam, hit the cat, knocked him across the kitchen, and ate every sardine on the plate. I mean, he slammed into the cat. Get out of the way, stupid cat. You know, and that's the way the dog treats the cat. You know, I call the cat to go outside. Here, kitty, kitty. And all of a sudden the dog comes charging. And the cat goes, meow, and runs off in another direction. Terrified, you know, because the dog comes steamrolling through the front door. And the cat is freaked out. And now, you know, we're having other difficulties that I won't go into with the cat. Anyway, the cat's locked up for in the garage for a few days, maybe forever. don't make me tell him, Isaac. And the cat's having a little problem with his bowels. Anyway, well, let's just leave it at that. So Joseph was hated by his brothers. They saw, it says verse 4, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him, could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Okay. Now, dreams are cool, but some dreams you just keep to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Just some dreams, but your kid's 17. He's 17 years old. He's a little dumb. You know what I'm saying? A little stupid. Okay? So he tells his brothers, and I think, oh, they love that dream. Let me tell you. Oh, we're going to bow down to you? And here's what they said. Then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream, and he related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow down? The sun and the moon are his father and his mother here. The sun is the father, the moon is the mother, and the 12 stars, 11 stars are his brothers. His father immediately understood the dream. Immediately. He said, where do you get off telling me, Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, the patriarch? God promised me that kings are going to come from my loins, and I'm going to inherit this land as an eternal possession forever. Who are you telling me I'm going to bow to you? You're my kid. Well, wait a second. Let's see what Jacob says. In verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. See, his father realized, you know, God did tell me I would give birth to kings. Maybe this is the first one. Maybe this is the first one. Hallelujah. Maybe this is true. So Israel said to Joseph, anyway, he sent him off. His brothers were far away in Shechem. He sent him off to go pasture the sheep with his pasture the sheep with his brothers. His brothers conspired against him. They threw him in a pit. Their plan was to kill him. But Reuben was the only brother that didn't want to kill Joseph. All the other ones wanted to kill him, but Reuben didn't want to kill him, so he was going to go rescue him. By the time he got back to rescue him, he'd found out that they had sold Joseph into slavery. Midianites. They sold Joseph to Midianites, slave traders, who brought him to Egypt. And he became, in the household, he was purchased by a guy named Potiphar, who was the head of the secret service for the Pharaoh. And he became a servant in Potiphar's house. Now, okay, so going back to chapter 44. So what happens to Joe? Just to summarize very quickly, Potiphar's wife, Joseph was a scrapping young 17-year-old. Potiphar's wife was not the most faithful wife, and she tried to get Joseph, she tried to make Joseph her boyfriend. And Joseph didn't want any part of it. He was an honorable man. He didn't want any part of his master's wife. So he ran from her, and she grabbed hold of his cloak, and she took it. And then she accused him falsely, and he went to prison. And Joseph was in prison probably for somewhere close to 13 years. 13 years in prison. One of the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 78, says he was in fetters. He was in chains, and his ankles, his feet were in fetters. He was chained from head to toe. He was chained down. He wasn't just in a jail cell. You know, God knows how long he had to lay there in chains. That's the way they treated him. But even in prison, he found favor with the warden, and he became second in command to the warden. He gained favor. He had favor. He had gifts. Joseph had gifts. And his gifts helped him. He could interpret dreams. He was a hard worker. He had the gift of servanthood. And his servanthood brought him to the top. He always rose to the top among the other servants because he was smart and he worked hard. And if you're a hardworking servant and you're smart, wherever you work and you don't give your boss grief, you'll rise to the top. The Bible says a man's gifts go before him and will bring him before great men. A man's gifts go before him, a woman too. And will your gift, if you use your gifts well and you don't give your boss a hard time, your gift will rise to the surface at some point and you'll be seen, you'll be recognized. Now, not everybody's Joseph. Not everybody's Esther. No, we can't all be Esther. We can't all be Moses. Amen? But we can all be some. We can all be somebody. We can all do better, can't we? Amen? We can all do better at serving the Lord. We can all do more for the Lord. But there's some things here, so let's read on. Just one Jew, gifted, equipped, always in the right place at the right time. However, he or she must be recognized by the powers that be. He or she, number two, must have the chutzpah, the gumption, to speak up at the right moment. Number three, he or she must choose to accept the mission. Remember, mission impossible. This is the mission. Should you choose to accept it, this message will destruct in 5 seconds. Self-destruct. Amen? Should you choose to accept the mission? Joseph chose to accept the mission. He didn't really have too much choice. He was sent off, but he didn't have to. Let's go to where he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh's servants. In Genesis 41:14. Actually, that's not where it starts. Okay. Chapter 40. Then it came about after these things that the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. They were downcast. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" They said to him, "We have had a dream that there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. the three branches or 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. This is the baker now. And in the top basket there were some of all sorts of the baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you. Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of his chief cupbearer. Now, isn't this interesting? Pharaoh's birthday is mentioned because the pagans celebrated birthdays. But you never hear about a Jew's birthday except for the birth of Jesus. And you don't even hear what day it is. But you hear the only birth you hear that's celebrated in the Bible, and it's only celebrated once, is the actual birth of the Messiah in Israel. But here we see that Pharaoh's birthday as an adult. Why is this king, this adult king, his birthday celebrated and mentioned in the Bible, but the King of Kings, his birthday is never mentioned? Chew on it. All right, let's read on. So he restored the cupbearer, but he hanged the chief baker. You know why the baker was hanged? I owned a bagel shop. I'm a baker, and I owned a bagel shop for 14 years. You know why they hung the baker? God showed me why. You know when a baker shows up for work? 3:30, 2:30, 4 o'clock, whatever, between 2:30, usually between 2 and 4 in the morning. And he's alone in the kitchen. And what does that cause when you're alone with all the goodies? Temptation. And I have a theory that the baker got caught stealing, because I had about 5 bakers that got caught stealing in my bagel shop. I had about 5 bakers that got caught stealing from me. And I realized this guy probably got caught stealing. And when you stole from the Pharaoh, you lost your head. Cupbearer just probably gave him some bad wine. He got his job back, but the baker lost his head. Okay. So Joseph could interpret dreams. And when the cupbearer went back to Pharaoh, Joseph said, don't forget me. Please remember me. But 2 years went by and he forgot him. He left him in jail for 2 years, the cupbearer to the king. Forgot all about Joe. Everybody say he forgot Joe. Amen. But then it says that Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. Or two. Chapter 41. Now it happened at that end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile, and lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now in the morning his spirit was troubled, so he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was there with us, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard. We related to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged the baker. Then Pharaoh sent, and here's another good reason why you should be ready for the phone call. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurried and brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. There's another reason to be ready and look your best. You might get a call from Pharaoh or the president or the governor. Be ready. Pharaoh said to Joseph, and I've had those calls, and they've said, be in my office in an hour. Be in my office in 30 minutes. Man, did I shower fast. I've had those major calls, not from the president, but from important people that God, you know, I knew I had to be, you know, important meetings. Anyway, let's go on. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I heard it said about you. When you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So first he gives glory to God. Amen. Second, he said, so Pharaoh spoke to Joseph in my dream. Behold, and he repeated his dream twice. And Joseph spoke to Pharaoh, and he said, now Joseph said to Pharaoh, verse 25, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. Dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repetition of the dream twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in 7 years of abundance. He gives Pharaoh the game plan, tells him what to do. And what does Pharaoh do? He's no dummy. Verse 38, then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there's no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage only in the throne. I will be greater than you. In other words, they're all going to bow down to you, Joe. They're all going to bow to you from now on. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. I'll only be the one greater than you, just me. You're going to sit at the right hand of power. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph went from prison to the palace in less than 24 hours. Is that cool? He went from the prison to the palace in less than 24 hours to the number two guy in all Egypt. Nobody would raise their hand or strike Joseph. They would lose their lives if they did. He had Pharaoh's protection. He had Pharaoh's chariot. second chariot. He had Pharaoh's provision. He had Pharaoh's gold necklace, and he had his authority. The ring meant, his signet meant that he had the authority, the stamp. The signet was something that you stamped in hot wax, and you could it gave whatever you letter or document you signed, and you stamped with that signet ring, was like Pharaoh saying it. And when in those days, what a king said under suzerain law, what a king said, and it applies under all king, what a king says is law. When a king speaks, it's law. That's kings have the power to make law. Amen? All right. So I think that's so cool. Joe went from the prison to the palace. But you got to remember, there's a couple of points that I made here. This is important, gang. Be ready in season and out of season. You don't know when your call is going to come. You don't know when the phone's going to ring. And your chance could be your 15 minutes of fame. Amen? Could be your 15 minutes of fame. Could be the rest of your life. But you don't know when the phone's going to ring. And that divine meeting. Be ready in season and out of season. Amen? Be ready. All right, that's number one. Number two, you got to have some chutzpah. You got to have some gumption. When those guys had dreams, Joseph spoke up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're in prison. You got nothing to lose. I mean, your feet are in fetters, whatever. You're in chains. You're in prison with these guys. What have you got to lose? But you know God. You don't brag, I'll interpret your dreams. No, but you say, God can interpret dreams. Maybe he'll give me the interpretation. He did. That was the first stepping stone to glory. Amen? Interpreting those guys' dreams, the cupbearer and the baker, was the first stepping stone to glory for him. Amen? God always prepares us. So before God takes you to the palace, he's going to prepare you like Esther. Before he took Esther to the palace, she spent a year of preparation. You're always going to be prepared. And even Joseph got a shave and a shower and a new set of clothes before he met the king. Amen? All right. By the way, ladies, your husband is your king. And gentlemen, your wife is your queen. Thank you. You got to have chutzpah. That's gumption. You got to speak up. Like the two men on the side of the road, the blind guy is sitting there, and Jesus is walking by with a crowd of 1,000 people following him, and the two blind guys are sitting there on the side of the road. Yeshua, son of David, have mercy on us. Yeshua, son of David, have mercy on us. They're shouting. Now, if they didn't shout, they kept their mouth, and everybody was telling them, shut up. Be quiet. He's busy. Leave him, Don't bother him. And they ignored the people, and they just kept shouting out, Yeshua, son of David, have mercy. Because the world will tell you to shut up. The world will tell you, be quiet. Don't make a stir. Don't make a scene. Mind your manners. Behave. Get in line. Be like everybody else. But those two guys, the blind guys, Yeshua heard them, and he stopped, and he healed them. They got up. They could see. He took away their blindness. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't be timid. Too many believers are timid, terrified of opening their mouth when God gives them something to say. They're horrified to speak up. God said to Esther through Mordecai, it doesn't say God said, but we know it was, For you have been called for such a time as this. And if you don't speak up, if you don't do something, salvation will arise for your people from somewhere else. Brothers and sisters, there's a time to open your mouth and there's a time to zip it. I don't know if that's in Ecclesiastes 3. Maybe that's the Message Bible version or the Amplified. There's a time to speak and a time to shut up. You got to know the difference. Amen? Some people don't know when to shut up. They don't realize God gave them... And I raise my hand. Sometimes I don't know when to shut up. I pray. That's one of my biggest problems. I was suspended 11 times in 7th grade for fighting because I couldn't shut up. I couldn't stop opening my mouth. I wasn't a believer. And I didn't have anybody praying for me. But I was a fighter, that's for sure. That's how we dealt with things in Boston. We fought. It's true. That's how people deal with things in Boston. Now, today they might not. They have safe spaces now. Places where you can cry. Places where you can get in touch with your feelings. See how you feel. Are you feeling like a woman today? You feeling like a man? You feeling like using a men's room or a woman's room? You feeling hurt? Did the president offend you with a tweet? Do you need to cry? They're selling a lot of tissue up there in Massachusetts lately. It's changed since I've been there. Boy, has it changed. Speak up! And at the right moment, you're standing there in the hallway and the Prime Minister of Israel is walking down the hall and that's your one chance to meet him and shake his hand. Mr. Prime Minister, I'm Joe Bell from the Messianic Jewish Alliance. I want to shake your hand. Don't just take a picture. That's the lesson I learned. Now, I don't know what happened on that trip over there, but I just saw the pictures of the Prime Minister walking down the hall. I didn't hear anybody say, Mr. Prime Minister, you know, can I talk to you for a second? You know, might get shot. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, Bill. If you're in the Knesset, and I've been in the Knesset on a VIP tour, they took my passport 2 days before. They did a thorough background check. You don't get into the hallway with the Prime Minister of Israel unless they know who you are. You're not in the building unless you're clean. You're not armed. You've been searched. There's nothing, and there's so many got bodyguards around him who can do Krav Maga and have machine guns that the chances of doing any harm to him, I'm just, you know, having been there and met the Deputy Speaker of the Knesset almost a year ago last week, 2 years ago last week, Don and I were there. We were given a tour by Ambassador to the Balkans, to Macedonia, which is where Alexander the Great came from. We were given a tour of the Knesset by Dr. Eli Nacht, who is the assistant to the deputy speaker of the Knesset. Now he just got elected the deputy mayor of Ashdod. I can see he's a young man. He's about 30. His career's rising. You know, he's the deputy mayor. He's aspiring to be in the Knesset. He might be prime minister one day. You know, and he's friendly to Messianic Jews. So anyway, and the funny thing was, is, you know, that's one of those instances where the phone call came and he said, fax me your passport and I'll bring it to the Knesset and we'll check your background. Wednesday morning, be there at 8 o'clock. My wife and I arrived at the Knesset at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning that week, and there was a line to get in. But when I showed my ID, we passed the line, we went through a special door, and we walked out and were greeted by the ambassador to Macedonia and the assistant to the deputy speaker of the Knesset, and we were brought in, and we had special privilege. We were able to go all through the Knesset into private meeting rooms and rooms where they make laws and bills and things like that. I was able to go to an army base, an IDF base. And you know, when the colonel picked me up and drove me and my wife to the IDF base, the Air Force base, when the colonel picked me up and drove me and my wife to the base, he intentionally drove us in circles so we wouldn't know where we were going. He drove us around in circles for miles. Where are we going? I had no idea where I was. I mean, it's like going out to Chucky. It's like going out to Chucky, Tennessee, and Limestone and Greenville, you know, and driving around. If you've ever been to Chucky, Greenville, and Limestone, you know, it's like going to, you know, I mean, think of a place where you're driving a country mile and there's nothing, and there's country roads 646, roads that don't have names, they have numbers. I mean, that kind of place. And we ended up in this cornfield kind of place, and all of a sudden it's a road, and there's a checkpoint. And there's these young, pretty Israeli girls, about 19, 20 years old, with machine guns. And there's each one has a barrier. And there's about six or eight of these barriers. And you had to drive through to get through these barriers, and they all had machine guns. And the first two took our colonel, and they checked his biometric card or whatever, and they scanned him. We were with him. They didn't even ask who we were. They already knew. They already knew everything about us. You got to speak up. And you must choose to accept the mission. If God gives you a mission, you know, I was called. I wasn't going to go to this conference. I don't have the money to go to this conference. I really don't have the money right now to go down to Florida, you know, to go to this conference. Okay? We're driving down. I'm not flying down. I can fly for free. I can drive to Knoxville and fly for free. You think I'm going to get three tickets on an airplane for free with my sons on Christmas weekend? You think so? I'll end up spending three nights in a motel in Knoxville because we won't get three seats on a plane on Christmas weekend with everybody traveling. So I'm driving. We're driving to Florida. I'm going because the chief executive of the Messianic Jewish Alliance, his wife, asked me to come and speak. Amen? So I'm going to speak. I guess Marty Goetz is going to be there. I'm going to speak. Praise the Lord. Because they asked me to come. And when they ask you to come, I advise you to go. All right, let's finish up. Number three, Joseph could have been bitter. Now let's turn to chapter 45, and I'm almost done here. Turn to chapter 45. Joseph is about to reveal himself to his brothers. It says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come closer to me.' And they came closer. And he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves.'" And it goes on before that. It says in chapter 45, verse 1, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, 'Have everyone go out from me.' So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers." Now, Anthony made an interesting point about recognition of his brothers. He said his brothers didn't recognize him. It kind of reminds me of Yeshua on the road to Emmaus, or when he appeared to his disciples. He was sitting on the beach and his disciples were fishing and he had a fire and they didn't recognize him. Who is this? Who is this guy calling us from the beach? And then after a while, the disciples from the road to Emmaus, when he broke the bread, they recognized him. And they had dinner with him that night. They broke the bread. Their eyes were opened. And they saw the Lord. He had changed. Because he was in his glorified body now. He was glorified. He had changed. You're not going to look the same way you look now in your glorified state. When he was on the beach and his disciples were out in the water on a boat 50 yards offshore, 70 yards offshore, they didn't know who it was. Who's this guy saying, come have breakfast? And then Peter and John, their eyes were open spiritually. And they realized this guy is the Lord. It's Yeshua. They jumped off the boat and swam to the shore. Amen? They didn't recognize him. In the same way, Joseph was in his glorified state, wasn't he? He was at the right hand of power. He was wearing the clothes of the king. He didn't look like Joe. He didn't look anything like what he used to look like, right? And they didn't recognize him. All the time that they came to Egypt and begged him and got down on their knees and begged him for mercy, and he put him in jail and he played games with them to test their hearts to see if they had changed. And then it says in verse 2, it says, he wept so loudly the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. What's happening? Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But this is the most beautiful part right here. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. He wasn't angry with his brothers. They hated him. They beat him up. They threw him in a pit. They beat him up. They probably punched him out, punched his lights out. They hated his guts. They probably pushed him around all the time. And then the day they threw him in the pit, you think they threw him gently? You think they gave him a rope and said, here, Joe, just climb down into the pit. We don't want you to hurt yourself or scrape yourself on the way down. No, they threw him in the pit after probably punching his lights out. Amen? And his coat was torn. So they put blood on it. How did his coat get torn? They ripped it. Are you following me? And Joseph could have been angry. And he could have been vengeful. Joseph could have been bitter that his brothers tried to kill him and then sold him into slavery. He could have been bitter that he was falsely imprisoned and with trumped up charges by Pharaoh's bodyguard, but he chose to make it a positive to forgive his brothers. Joseph was able to look beyond his circumstances and see what God was really doing, and he could see the future. He could see that you know, he understood why God had sent him there. How marvelous. How many of us can get past the trash that is our family squabbles and our get past the garbage that's our bickering and our enmity and our strife with our brothers and sisters and our parents and our and cousins and aunts and uncles and political differences and all these things, and being a believer, a Christian or a messianic versus an unbeliever, and all the things we face? How many of us can get past it and say, like Joe did, and say, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. God sent me here. You see, it says when he named, if you go on the next page, go back to when he gets married. The sons of Joseph. It says here in chapter 41, verse 51, Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. And the second he named Ephraim, for he said, God has also made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. You see, Joe had reached a point, he had struggled for 13 years to deal with the psychological damage done to him, the emotional damage done to him. And when he was raised up at the right hand of power in Egypt, he said, you know, I'm not a Jew anymore. Now I'm an Egyptian. I'm part of this family. This is my new family. I'm a king. This is my wife. She's a priestess. And these are my kids. And I'm going to name this boy Manasseh, meaning that God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. I'm putting it all behind me. And when he had put it all behind and thought he had, because no man knows the heart, he thought he had forgotten all about it. But when his brothers came to him, it all came rushing back. And he still loved him. And he still loved his father and his brothers. And you can read it. I'm not going to read it all. He didn't really forget him. But he was prepared to, if he had to. Number four, we all may have messy lives and family junk. Can we look past that stuff, guys? Can we allow God to use us to bring healing to the broken? Maybe your family won't listen. But people will listen. Somebody will listen to you. Maybe your family won't listen to you. But you can share your story with somebody who will listen to you. Amen? Always share your story, what God's done for you, where you're going, what's your vision. Your dream is, my dream is Aliyah, and I'm not going to talk about it because it's getting late. I'll talk about it next week or the week after. But we'll get to it. The Bible says a man's gift goes before him and brings him before great men. Joseph could have been bitter, punished his brothers for life, even taken their lives. But God chose Joseph because he knew that Joe... He knew what Joe would do. He equipped him for the job. And he's equipped you. Every one of you is a Joseph in your own world. Amen? Every one of you is a Joseph in your own world. And you can bring salvation, the message of the gospel, to the lost. In your own circles, in your own environment. Your own, wherever you are, your community, every one of you can do it. Amen. You don't have to be, it's not just the preacher's job. Every one of us can share the gospel. Some of you are evangelists. I see Diane sitting there. She's always preaching, telling me, sharing this and that. And that's good. No, I think it's good stuff. You're bold. You know, that's important. That's how God got me. It was a bold employee that got me to read the Bible. Worst employee I ever had, but I read the Bible. It's something else. So we can learn a lot of neat lessons from the story of Joseph. And it's very, 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 a lot of parallels to the story of Jesus, of Yeshua. Amen? A lot of parallels. They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize Yeshua when he was glorified, did they? They didn't recognize him. But once he said, come closer to me. I'm Yeshua. I'm your brother. The guy you threw into the pit. You killed me, but God sent me ahead of you to bring salvation, to save our nation. Amen. Please rise. I want to bless you. I want to share with you how blessed I am as a Jew to be able to read these stories of my family and how meaningful it is for me to know that, you know, I may be a descendant of Joseph, one of those 12 brothers, you know. I go down the line somewhere. Amen. And, you know, having had my ancestors killed in the Holocaust and killed in the pogroms and the Inquisition and lost so many people throughout history that I can't trace, I don't have a 1,000-year reign like the British to trace back my lineage and my ancestry. You know, I don't have that. But when I got this book, God said, this is your family. This is your family crest. This is your family genealogy, you know. And it's comforting to me, even though my earthly family doesn't give two cookies about this book. The God who wrote it is all we really have in the world, folks. And if you're grafted in, it's your family too. Amen. It's your family too. If there's somebody in this book that's just like you. There's somebody in this book that you know, whether it's the Roman centurion, or whether it's the woman at the well, or whether it's the woman up in Lebanon there, who has had the oil and the, you know, and the flour, and she fed Elijah. You know, the Gentile woman, you know, you're in this book. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha Vichunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Vayasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, and help you look past your circumstances and make you ready in season and out of season, and help you to speak up and give you the courage to be bold when you need to be bold and to zip it when you need to zip it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And may God use you to do mighty things. Praise the Lord, because you have a better covenant than Joe. Shabbat shalom.